The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, we are live, going at you live this morning, Friday the 24th of February, 2023. Yes, I've got the day, the week, not the week, the month and the year, right? Have I got anything wrong, Nicola? Am I factually accurate? Have you fact-checked me yet?
No, I don't need to fact-check you. You're very good with your facts, Rick. Welcome to the show, listeners. We're very, very glad to have you on our hour, the hour that I'm on, anyway.
Yeah. And I'll even be on for another hour afterwards, believe it or not. We have a smorgasbord of wonderful people gracing the airways today here on TNT Radio. But as per right now, the most important presenters on this station are you and I, because we're live and it's our little time together and it's all good. We have a lot to talk about, as always, this morning, and it is a talkback show. And at 11:15, if you've got an old-fashioned phone or a phone on your arm, sorry, a watch in your arm, if you've got a watch in your arm, you can set your alarm for 15 minutes past the hour, and that's your wake-up call that if you feel motivated and moved, you can lift the phone and give us a call. We're throwing the lines open. I love that expression, throwing the lines open at 11:15, and feel free to give us a shout or just simply listen in to our chat. It's entirely up to you. No pressure whatsoever. Nicola, quick story to kick us off this morning relating to Australia. Sydney, Australia. Australia, Sydney. Don't start me in my terrible Aussie accent. Sydney's Mardi Gras, which I think is French for who knows what, will feature sophisticated CCTV with data analytics software that monitors crowd. Check this out, mood. They can check the mood of the crowd and also the density. Yes, and of course, they say it's for your safety. Organisers of the Sydney Mardi Gras say that it will avoid crush-type scenarios. The march to digital ID and surveillance continues. So the Mardi Gras goers this year in Sydney are going to be monitored, facial recognition software, and not only will they maybe pinpoint who you are, but also how you're feeling. I don't know how they're going to do that. Everyone's probably going to be drunk and grinning from ear to ear or foaming at the mouth. What are the range of emotions at Mardi Gras? You're either drunk, angry, or something else. What do you think about this one?
I think that's a massive betrayal of the gay community. And, you know, we've got rainbow flags everywhere here in Australia because it's Pride Month in June and everyone's doing this performative supporting. All the companies have their rainbow flags out. You can't see a TV commercial without a rainbow flag. But I think that's a terrible betrayal of the gay community. I used to go to Mardi Gras. I used to film in Melbourne and then Mardi Gras weekend fly up to Sydney. And I'd say I used to party like it's 1999, but it was 1999. So that was okay. What are the chances? And I used to go ham with the lovely gay boys and they're all chained together by a dog collar and they used to say, "I'm Peter and I'm Paul and I'll take care of you for the night," and they'd bring you water, and it was one of the best parties I've ever been. I'm so glad that I went crazy when I was in my 20s. However, you know, considering the support the left has from the gay community, I consider that a massive invasion of privacy, a massive betrayal. How dare they? You know, that is a very special event from them. And I'm really surprised there's no pushback on that, Rick.
I didn't know in Sydney that it was a gay or it was a pride type festival. I'm thinking about Mardi Gras in New Orleans, where it's kind of a free for all of the carnival in Rio. But of course, everybody participates. But you mentioned actually about the Pride Month. I think ours is, not mine, but collectively the UK, Ireland's is June, I think as well. So are they gearing up for this already? And it's only, the last week of February? Are they starting to push this already, are they?
Yeah, and I don't mind it. I don't mind them gearing up and pushing it. What I don't like is the corporatization of the LGBT LGBTQI community because they're trying to incorporate paedophiles and call them, you know, minor attracted persons. Do you know what? There is some disgusting, horrific, revolting street art, we're calling it. I reckon the government's put it there, popping up in Sydney. It's at my Twitter, at allbitenobark88.
It's disgusting.
And one of them is angel wings made of penises, and the other one is a very hairy, sort of middle-aged shaped hairy man in bondage gear, and his head, he's wearing a big head mask that's a teddy bear. So obviously the teddy bear makes the kids have a look, and then they go, oh, a big hairy guy in bondage. What sick nightmares in local councils are allowing that to go on the side of a building, Rick?
It's a shocker. Apparently, somebody fitting that description has been seen running around in the streets of Plymouth in England. I don't know if Darren's seen him or not. But apparently he's been spotted. Darren's just sprang into life. I wish you could see his face right now. Right now on the Zoom screen. But that's just a little bit of humor to counterbalance the grotesqueness and the horror of what you've just said, which unfortunately...
Don't do that to me. I'm trying
Nicola,
to be serious.
Is true. It unfortunately is true. And now is a perfect time. That's a perfect lead-in for us to just inhale just for a split second and ask our listeners to brace themselves for incoming info from our legendary friend Dee Dee Denslow on the way right here on TNT Radio.
Talking the big stories.
Our country has a lot of problems.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, I can't stop. Sorry.
It wasn't me.
Well, who said it was, Darren? I only mentioned Plymouth. I wasn't insinuating that it was you. Anyway, listen, what you get up to at the weekend is your own business. You're a professional on earth. That's all I care about. Okay. So, Israel unleashes. Sorry, I have to get myself together. No, yes, you do it, please. Okay, you go.
Well, no, because I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure Darren will tell us about what's happening with Israel.
I will just jump in, and you can. I'll get studio to mute you all, and you can just listen to Darren. Well, actually, it's today's the 24th of February, so it is the 12-month anniversary of the special military operation. I won't call it an invasion into Ukraine. There are rumors in the next few days that the latest Russian offensive will intensify. But other news very quickly coming out of Ukraine. There are reports that the Ukrainian are mobilizing troops and positioning troops to go into a place called Transnistria. This would be an invasion. That's a independent region of Moldova that are of Russian-speaking people. And also the UN have voted that the Russians, or they all voted that the Russians should withdraw from Ukraine after 12 months because Ukraine are winning, so that's coming out of Russia. So they expect to be a bit more action than there already is coming out of that region over the coming week or so. The story I wanted to touch on was the airstrikes in Gaza. We rarely talk about other conflicts around the world. Israel conducted airstrikes against Palestinian militants in Gaza in what it calls retaliation for rocket fire from the air enclave. The aerial attack followed an Israel military raid on the West Bank on Wednesday that claimed 11 lives. The IDF said it was in response to the rockets fired from Gaza. IAF fighter jets struck both a weapons manufacturing site and military compound belonging to the Hamas terrorist organization located in central and northern Gaza. Israel military officials also accused the militant group of deliberately placing its facilities near civilian infrastructure. Now, there was a raid carried out in the West Bank at a place called Nablus on Wednesday. As I just said, 11 people were apparently killed. But The Guardian, and I'm not saying these are, it's not the bastion of truth, have quoted an unnamed Palestinian that says 103 people were injured when Israeli troops opened fire on the Palestinians for them protesting against this raid. So this is an often underreported situation in Israel. Israel, the size, what, two or three times the size of Devon and Cornwall in the UK. And I did share you a graphic yesterday Palestine used to look like back in 1918. It was the size of Israel. Now it's a few black dots on Israel, as Israel have consumed all of their land. And this is not reported. Nothing bad can ever be said about the Israeli government, and I'm talking about the Israeli government and their treatment of these people whose lands it once was. Another underreported conflict is Yemen. Yeah, 500,000 people have died in the Yemen conflict. And the thing that Ukraine, Yemen, and what's going on in Israel all have in common is it's Western weapons that are being dropped on these people and killing them. But we're all focused on Ukraine. Yeah, Ukraine, Putin bad. And yet there are conflicts around the world that are often underreported because they're the wrong conflict. And those people who are dying in those conflicts are of no consequence to us in the West. So I thought I would bring this up on the anniversary of the Russian invasion, just to make sure that people are aware it's not the only war. There are conflicts everywhere, but the only ones that matter to the people in power are the only ones that get reported to us in the public.
Darren, it sounds like the Israeli one is a continuation of a land grab. We're looking at Ukraine and Russia, which also feels like a land grab. Is that the situation in Yemen as well?
I think the situation in Yemen is to do with it's a religious conflict.
Right.
Unfortunately for the people in Yemen, just like the people in Iran, not only do they have oil resources, but they're the wrong type of Muslim. Yeah, the wrong type of Muslim. So it's okay for the Saudis to blow them up with American weapons. They are Shia, as they are in Iran. And if you have a look at there's a big sort of religious disagreement between the Sunnis and the Shias, and we side with the Sunnis. And guess which are the bad Muslims? I shouldn't say that, but the ones that are sort of responsible for terrorist attacks and some of the conflicts are often the Sunnis. They are the fundamentalist sect of Islam. In fact, that's Saudi's number one export is their Sifali Islamic extremism. So
we've got some terrorists here in the West, haven't we? They blew up the Nord Stream pipeline.
Exactly. Yeah, they all work together.
The biggest gaslighting operation in human history probably has been America and NATO states painting the rest of the world to be villains and tyrants, which they need to usurp, remove, have regime change, come in, take over and liberate the people. And actually, Nicola, what we're talking about here on the world stage is simply an extension of even what we discussed in the Mardi Gras in Sydney. We're watching you. We're monitoring you. We're going to control you for your own protection. We're going to keep you safe. And we are collectively, we are going to do that. That's effectively all of those regimes that Darren has just mentioned in Israel, Palestine, in Syria, in Yemen, all over the world. If you want to get your eyes open, Darren, and get your mind blown, do research into the Second Congolese War, okay? Mm-hmm. It happened about 30 years ago, 10 million dead and displaced. No one even knows it existed, my friend. It only happened a few decades ago. Or the Rwandan genocide in 1994. Yep. 800,000 people butchered in a month. And the United Nations were told about it and they did absolutely nothing to prevent it. Listen, my friend, between the three of us, I think we could do a 10-hour special on all the atrocious wars and conflicts that are going on around the world. And big props to you today, Darren, for bringing this up, because as you say, a lot of these aren't discussed and they aren't brought to the forefront. And people need to understand that the world does not revolve around Ukraine, and it does not revolve around yellow and blue flags, or Russian flags for that matter. People, my friend, the old Remember the Equation of Life, Rick Munn's Equation of Life, people equals trouble. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. It doesn't matter what your faith is or lack of faith is or skin color is. Someone's going to attack you, control you, oppress you, and want to enslave you or kill you. How's that for an uplifting summary on our little discussion?
But a lot of these conflicts, well, all of these conflicts, it's also sort of easy to work out who the bad guys are on the global stage, because the bad guys manage to keep the actual ground wars, the conflicts, not on their shores. So if you look at the Five Eyes nations, what do we so far not have at our shores? All of these things that are going on are somewhere else, and everyone has felt very sort of comforted by that for a long time. But I don't think they should, because that doesn't necessarily mean that we're on the right side of things.
Correct, correct. Like I said, it's one big gaslighting operation, and usually the people that are accusing the other side of atrocities are the ones that have instigated them or committing worse atrocities as it is. It's just inversion, 2 + 2 = 5, classic George Orwell. We're seeing it, we're living it, and at least we're bringing it to people's attention. So big thanks to that one, for that one, Darren, and hopefully we'll get talking again in the next
star. I'll listen to you at the weekend, Darren.
Yeah, I've got Chris Sky this weekend. So, Chris Sky on Sunday.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
So, that's on. So just a little plug for you, by the way. On Sunday, you have a show on Sunday afternoon, UK time. Isn't that correct? 12. Give me the times again.
Yeah. UK time, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. And I've got Rich Willett and Chris Sky on this weekend. I've got no show this afternoon. The gods at TNT have given me the afternoon off. So, that's great.
Good man.
Well, I look forward to it at the weekend.
And remember, stay indoors and no running around the streets of Plymouth, okay? You know what I mean? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
No Mardi Gras for you this weekend.
No Mardi Gras in Plymouth for you this year, son. But it's all good. We need you in the studio, not behind bars, okay? So that's Darren, Darren of Plymouth, DD Denslow. He'll be back in an hour, and we'll be back in a minute or so with Talk Back here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
It's crazier and crazier and more crazy than it's ever been before. When you look at the president in Ukraine, the president in Poland today, and the rhetoric from President Zelensky of Ukraine saying if China gives lethal weapons to Russia, it's World War III. I mean, what is going on here? Why do we not try to de-escalate all this instead of apparently escalating it?
Well, we got the wrong president in office, as you know. If Trump was in office, the war in Ukraine never would have started. There's no question about that. We wouldn't have the economy we're having right now. We wouldn't have the gas problem. We wouldn't have the natural resource problem they have right now. We always tend to fund our own wars against ourselves. It's incredible to me. We now, you want to get on the oil. I mean, the whole thing, you know, we were energy independent when Trump was going out of office. And then the first thing Biden did was get rid of that. So we are now buying oil from countries that absolutely hate us. And I go, you know, they can hate us for free. We don't have to pay them money, you know. So I don't know why we just don't take care of the problems we have got in our own country instead of constantly throwing money at other countries. And we're throwing a lot of money at the Ukraine right now, for sure.
Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
So much scandal, so much shenanigans and skullduggery, and yet so little time. Nicola, there was a story I thought we were going to get covering this week, but we didn't quite touch on it. And another story has came up that has brought the one to mind that we didn't talk about, and it's to do with deaths and the Clinton family or crime dynasty. Okay, now, yes. I think you're aware, revelations surfaced earlier this week to do with a gentleman who was allegedly, he committed suicide and somehow he managed to tie himself to a tree, shoot himself in the chest with a shotgun, and it was ruled to be no suspicious circumstances. That happened earlier on this week. That in itself would be newsworthy, but another story has broken overnight. A billionaire financier, Thomas H. Lee, is now found dead inside his Fifth Avenue office. He's an investor who was friends with, guess who, the Clintons, and he also died from self-inflicted gunshot wounds. The family said their hearts are broken. It's a very dangerous thing to be a friend of the Clintons these days, would you agree?
Oh, and do you think we're done? Do you think we're done with the Clintons? Oh, no, we're not done. It's not only dangerous to be friends with the Clintons or work for the Clintons, it's also very, very dangerous to fly from their airport in Arkansas because five people have been killed in a twin-engine plane crash. And they've been identified as environmental consultants en route to investigate the deadly metal factory explosion in Bedford, Ohio.
No.
Killed
this
on
happened this
takeoff,
week as well?
Just today, killed on takeoff near Bill and Hillary Clinton's National Airport in Little Rock. I honestly, are the Clintons cleaning house? Yeah, because those five toxicologists, specialist analysis were going to look at these explosions, one in particular from a metals factory, and they collect data and they look at the causes of explosions. Now, if there were nefarious activities going on, let's say with all the food distribution plants going up and toxic rail crashes and metals factories all seem to be around the Ohio area, wouldn't you not want specialists who know if something nefarious went on? You wouldn't really want them getting there, would you? And all they've said is, we're very sorry for the families.
This is, I didn't know about that crash, but as you say, came out of Little Rock in Arkansas, which is old Bill Clinton's stomping ground. That's where he started to cut his political teeth, as it were. So there's that, which of course we can't link directly to the Clintons. It just so happened to happen on their back door. Well, you get what I mean. You know, it's all very shady and ropey. This other story that I've just mentioned, this guy who was just found yesterday, shot to dead, friend of the Clintons. And then this one, I believe the one with the gunshot wounds to his chest tied to a tree. I think that happened a few months ago, but it's only just being reported on.
But there was
the
no
details
gun.
Are just being reported, but there was no gun. Yeah. So how does that work?
And it was
how
suicide.
Do you shoot yourself?
Yeah. You know what? Probably some dog that was out being walked just picked it up, took it 10 miles away and buried it. There's always some explanation how someone can manage to tie themselves to a tree. It's not possible. You know, a few years ago, one of her aides, or actually, I think he was her aide once and then he turned journalist and went against her. He was out jogging in a very posh neighborhood and managed to shoot himself in the back of the head while jogging, not once, but twice. And that was also deemed suicide.
Yeah, how do you shoot yourself as well with a shotgun? Unless it's a sawn-off shotgun, you need to have pretty long arms. Okay, I've got a little short arm, so even if I wanted to, if I had a 12-gauge, my finger wouldn't, or thumb wouldn't reach the trigger if I wanted to shoot myself in the chest with a shotgun. There's just, do you not think we're being trolled now? Do you not think we're being told that there's suicides are happening, that anybody with an ounce of sense in their head can realize it's not physically possible to tie yourself to a tree, then shoot yourself in the chest with a shotgun, and then have no gun found at the scene of the crime? Is this not just starting to turn into a troll job, do you think, to just aggravate people like us and get us wound up?
Well, it's all seeming a bit ridiculous, I'll be honest. It's quite laughable. I mean, us down here, the 99%, you know, if someone plants a hair or some DNA, or, you know, your government whops your fingerprint off the site that you've had to put it on to get your residency like I did and puts it at a crime scene, oh, well, there's, you know, there's DNA evidence, you're screwed, you're going down for 25 years and you don't actually need a dead body, or you don't need any witnesses, you don't need really any evidence. It's all circumstantial and people get put down for life. And yet anyone associated with the Clinton dynasty or the Clinton Foundation, no, that's always suicide. It's almost got to the point of ridiculousness where no one who ever works with the Clintons dies of anything other than suicide, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I've just seen the picture that you sent through there about this story in the Daily Mail, and the picture is just a huge blue sky, and underneath it, it says Clinton National Airport, where these people have just flown out of. So yes, the name Clinton is certainly synonymous with very, very, very many things, one of which is now strange and mysterious deaths. By the way, I have forgotten. This morning, I've completely forgotten that we actually have a live chat. You know me, I like the live chat. I like to shout out to people in the live chat, and I completely forgot about it this morning. So all the people that are on live chat at the minute, a very good morning to you all. And one of them, I've just noticed, Arch Denton has said, should I go on air and speak to these people? Should I call in? I am a little bit scared. My friend Arch, trust me, you have nothing to fear. But fear ring in. Itself. Ring yeah. in.
Let me
ring in.
Let me give you the numbers. Let me give you the numbers, guys, right?
Please.
If you want to ring in. Yeah, USA and Canada, 1-888-201-6425. The UK, 033-0024-1026. And Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. Yes, we want to hear from you. It was so great yesterday with lots of people ringing in. So give us a call.
Yes, Arch, don't be afraid. Give us a call. I promise you will survive the experience, and it will make your life all the better for having spoke to us in person. And that's just a shameless plug for you and I, Nicola. But we've got to take a little break now for the news. We'll be back literally in a minute. So if you are listening in anywhere in the world and you have anything to say about any issue, not just the ones that we're talking about, feel free to give us a call. We'll be right back here on TNT Radio. I got news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. Vladimir Putin has revealed Russia's security is being bolstered with a brand new weapon system. Israel's unleashed a wave of airstrikes against Palestinian militants in Gaza. The US Air Force has launched a formal investigation into a cancer cluster among missileers at the country's intercontinental ballistic missile bases. And Washington is reportedly planning on quadrupling the number of US troops in Taiwan in a move that's sure to be met with fire in Beijing.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The live chat people are now egging on Arch to jump on the line. Come on, Arch, you can do it, son. You can do it. It's like I remember when I was a kid, we used to have a swimming pool, a big public swimming pool near where I lived. And one of the rites of passage that us kids went through is we had to climb up a very big set of steps. There was a huge platform about 20 feet up in the air. It was called the top board. And a rite of passage was you had to make your way to the end of it and then throw yourself off into the swimming pool. And it was terrifying, terrifying for all us kids to do that, especially if we were actually being thrown off by our parents against our will. But we all survived it. We all survived it. And guess what, Nicola? You see, after we did it, we jumped on the steps, we ran straight back up, and the fear, the spell of fear had been broken. And before you know it, we were up and down those steps. It's a little bit like that, I think, when you're doing something new, isn't it? You're a bit afraid, you're a bit hesitant, you're worried. But you know what? After you've done it, it's all good, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do here at TNT is dispel the fear. And what you're talking about there is the good old days, right? The glory days. We didn't know at the time. We were just living. We didn't know that the world was going to change so exponentially. I mean, I'm absolutely shocked and horrified because I was chatting with the producers the other day and I was saying that you sound like a conspiracy theorist, or I sound like a conspiracy theorist if I just read the headlines from Reuters. And this Reuters headline is a shocker. It says Google tests blocking news content, that would be TNT, blocking news content for some Canadians. And this is a real thing, that they're going to decide what world news, I presume, or perhaps even domestic news, we don't know, that the government, it says government and Meta, of course, Mark Zuckerberg is involved, will block access for some Canadian users. Rick, doesn't this sound a little bit like China to you? This doesn't sound like the Western world.
It's an odd one because you see, if you read the wording in that carefully, it actually, notice it doesn't say it will block some news for Canadians. It says it will block news for some Canadians, which is even worse because what they're doing is they're zoning it into certain people. It might be a certain locality, or it might be someone that's maybe, for example, associated with spreading mis and dis and malinformation online. They haven't made that perfectly clear, but I don't know if you know this or not, but I can't get access to any, RT News has been banned in many, many places across the world now. So sometimes when people send me links through to RT News articles that are really, really good, they want me to see them, I can't get them because I don't have a VPN and I can't bypass it. And Ofcom have done a blanket ban in the UK of RT News and several other Russian news outlets. So I am being censored right now. I don't know if you can get that stuff over in Australia, but it's already rolling out, and now they're expanding it a little bit in Canada with certain categories of people in certain geographical locations. They're certainly on a mission.
Yeah, there's stuff they don't want us to know, Rick, and it's really getting a bit concerning, to be honest, because Darren sent us that link this morning, last night for you guys, about Palestine shrinking, and it's really interesting. I think I put the map part of it on socials, where you can see that, you know, Palestine was bigger and Israel was smaller, and then it starts at 1992 and it comes to modern day and you can just see Palestine shrinking away. And my MacBook computer, I have a MacBook computer and a PC, because the PC lets me see anything. The PC is like a pimp. It would just give me anything. But the MacBook is very fussy. The MacBook, Microsoft, it doesn't really want me to see certain things. So I actually had to go to that link to look at that on my Samsung phone, because my MacBook and the algorithms within it decided, you don't need to see that Israel is taking all of Palestine, which I find a little bit creepy, don't you?
Yeah, in this day and age, there's one thing that they don't want you to know, and it's the truth. And the reason why we can say that definitively is the one thing that's been censored and the one thing that people have been locked up for and fined for over the last 2 to 3 years specifically, but going back decades upon decades, is for simply telling the truth. You look at somebody like Julian Assange, for example, who's an Australian citizen. He's banged up in Belmarsh prison now, languishing for the last 10 to 13 years. Haven't got the specific dates, how long he's been either in exile in an Ecuadorian embassy. Then he was moved into Belmarsh maximum security prison in the UK. For what? For sharing information that he was given on WikiLeaks about the Americans killing civilians in the Middle East. And the people that done the killing, they were never prosecuted. But the person that shared the information, and he didn't hack it, by the way, he simply shared information that was given to him and published in several mainstream media rags in America, none of whom have been prosecuted, is Julian Assange. So what's his crime here, Nicola? What crime did he commit other than telling the truth?
Well, you know why, don't you? Because, you know, it's the age-old saying, knowledge is power. And they don't want us to have any knowledge. They want all the knowledge. They want all the power. They want to know what's going on geopolitically in every country around the globe. And they don't want us to know. What they want us to know is the story time for five-year-olds that the mainstream media is currently feeding 99.9% of the population. Now, they might be watching their mainstream media news and thinking, well, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem real. My friends would say, oh, I'll ask Nicola Charles about that. She'll tell me the truth. But if you don't have a Nicola Charles or a Rick Munn or a TNT radio in your life, then you might think that there's more than a giant dollop of truth in it, but there isn't. And so they're weaving, you know, Klaus Schwab even references it. You know, this is the narrative, right? What's a narrative? I'm a writer. A narrative is a story. So they're telling you a story. They're not telling you the truth. They're not telling you news. They're not even giving you their opinion. You know, sometimes they say to me, you know, do less opinion. Well, at least the opinion is mine, and I can say in my humble opinion, we don't know how Joe Biden or Justin Trudeau or any of them really feel about any of this. We don't even know what they have for breakfast, but we do know what stories they want to tell us on a daily basis.
Yeah, we do. And that's why it's important to have freedom of speech. And we've said this several times before, even you and I, when we've been discussing various issues, we may not agree about everything, but I respect your opinion. I think you respect my opinion, and we're not going to fall out over anything. Okay, I'm not going to say, well, if you don't align with my beliefs and my take on a certain person or a certain government regime, then we're done, we're finished, we're not on the same side. You're never going to find somebody that lines up perfectly with what you believe. But what they absolutely do not want is a collective of people, especially coming together to counter whatever narrative that they're trying to push, because that makes us dangerous, especially whenever there are several of us banding together, forming groups, or even like we're doing now, broadcasting out of a dedicated station, which is TNT Radio. We actually have a caller on the line, Mark from the UK. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Mark.
Hiya. Hi, Nicola. Hi, Rick. You all right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah. What's up? What's bothering you today, Mark?
Yeah, good. I was just ringing because I've been itching to ring all week, to be honest, because I went to the demo on the Saturday in Oxford.
Oh, that's right. How did it go?
Yeah, and I've got to ring in. I've not had a chance to ring in. I've been really busy. And then I heard you on my morning show when I was travelling to work at 7 o'clock. You were on your earlier show. And you were on about robots. And it just struck a chord with me because where we live in Leeds now, they've introduced these robots that deliver shopping from the co-op in the Leeds area where I live, it's Cookridge. Now, and they've been there now for, I'd say, 2 months. And they go around, they've got six wheels, they're a white, like a tram size, with a stalk with a bleep on, like a yellow bleep. And it goes around, it drops off the shopping, you put, and anyway, what I'm trying to get at is, I got a hunch. These are things that are going to be more like policing.
Yes.
The pens that
normalization.
I think that we'll get to a point where these things, because, I mean, obviously it's going to be a dystopian world where I'm talking about maybe another 5 years or so. But these are the sort of things that they're going to do, or introduce, I think, is they're going to come down after your digital ID, what time you're out at, you know, this type of thing, because when you see them, and it, take it away, because if you can imagine, when they take away the digital IDs and the CDC, you're going to have to live in a more or less police-free zone, because you're self-police. Make your phone red.
What it is, Mark, is we've got them in Melbourne as well. So we've got those, as you say, pram, stroller size sort of robots. For us, it's not delivering food so far. For us, they're delivering food in certain restaurants in the city. And what's happening, and Rick and I talk about this a lot, this is the normalization of you having these robots in your life. Now, at some point, who knows? I don't think it's going to be Transformer style, but at some point, these robots are going to stand up. And they're going to ask you for your papers. They're going to ask you for your ID, for your address. They're going to do it in a friendly way. They don't have a soul. They don't have a personality. They're a robot. And we'll be so shocked because we will have accepted them in this friendly way, delivering food and taking food to tables in restaurants. But you're right. I absolutely believe down the track it's for policing because police already use robots to go in and disarm bombs and stuff like that. How do you feel
about them, Mark? That's exactly how I feel about it. Yeah, exactly what you just said is what I think we're going to do. It's a softly, softly approach to bringing these and normalising them. And where we live, it is we're embracing the children are supposed to ring in for them, and then you put in a song that you like to hear when the lid lifts up and you get the shopping out, and it's all done, and it's introducing the children to it, which is what they do. It's a classic manoeuvre, is to bring in this thing where the kids are normalising these things. And so when it asks for your papers in digital ID, where you've got to swipe your barcode onto it to make sure that you know that you're allowed to be in that zone at that time, that's what they're going to do. And I think it's as plain as a nose in your face. I think it's there, and it's within the next 5 to 10 years, I'd say. And if you can imagine, a 5-year-old kid seeing it now, by that time, you're 15 years old, 16, 17, 18, you know, and so on. And that's it. They're introduced. They're in your life. I just have to share it. It's been one of those things that's been building up, and I've been wanting to say I would speak to somebody about it.
Well, appreciate the call, Mark, and appreciate the input, and I hope you have a good weekend. That's an interesting one. And don't forget as well, Nicola, what this is actually doing is it's taking jobs away from people. We talked about the bomb disposal robots, or you mentioned them. They were a familiar sight when I was growing up. Used to see them going towards cars all the time here in Northern Ireland. There was a lot of booby-trap bombs around, but that was to preserve life. Obviously, if a robot goes in and gets blown up, we don't mind that. But this is taking jobs away from people at at a time in history when job security and income has never probably been as important, you know, given that we're facing potential economic collapse and a lot of uncertainty in these days. They're getting rid of workers in supermarkets. They're moving towards self-service. They have like one person on a checkout late at night now, and you've got like 30 self-scan, self-service items. Every one of those stations is a lost job, is it not?
Yeah, look, I don't want to be negative about this, but I think we need to be realistic. And thanks so much for that, Mark. I really appreciate knowing that that's going on, because I'm actually getting pretty homesick for the UK. Mm-hmm. But these are the same people, the people exposing our children to robots who deliver food and robots who bring food to tables in restaurants in Melbourne. We don't need to ask ourselves if there is a reason, an unsavory reason, why they are normalizing the evolution of robots in our lives, because these are the same people that are over-sexualizing our children at schools. These are the same councils that are allowing these woke agendas and critical race theories and all of the stuff we don't want to go into our children's heads in schools. So they're the people who've decided that these robots are a good thing at this time. I think the loss of jobs because of these robots is the least of our worries. Mm. I think this is going to go to an extraordinary place. And as I said, you can't reason with a robot. You know, they had drones over sunbathers on beaches at Bondi in Sydney during lockdown to sort of hover above people. And the drone would say, get off the beach, you know, and people would laugh. But when it's a robot or a drone, you know, a drone is a flying robot if it's talking to you. And there's someone in base camp, you know, looking at you through a camera as well. So that's not very private. You can't reason with it like you can with a police officer. You know, you're unlucky if you meet a nasty police officer, but it does happen. In fact, a very nasty police officer who threw an ordinary civilian headfirst down onto the concrete during the lockdown protests has actually just had his case dismissed. He's fully got off with that in Melbourne. So there's outroar and uprage.
Was that the one in Flinders Station by any chance? Yes. Was that the one in Flinders Station where he literally body slammed this kid into the ground as hard as he possibly could? I thought it should have been done for attempted murder. Not assault or attempted. He tried to kill him, Nicola.
I mean, it hasn't said whether he's going back on the streets, but he's had the case dismissed, so it's more than likely he'll be a police officer. So you wouldn't want to come across him on a dark night in an alleyway. However, most of the time, let's say you come across a friendly police officer, you can reason with them and the police officer will say, you know, we're in lockdown or you're breaking crowd rules. Look, you know, just go with your friends and have a reasonable conversation. That's not going to happen with AI and robots. It's just not going to happen. And our children are being sort of really rapidly indoctrinated to accept an awful lot of things in a very short space of time. I believe it's because I genuinely believe now that they are in some kind of retreat over smart cities and digital IDs. And I think because it's better to retreat than be defeated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know the rumors that these are the same people that had to retreat on September 2nd, 1945. And if that's the case, then good, because we have to win, right? We have to win this battle. We have to win for all the people who've died for it. And that includes JFK. That includes the falling man on 9/11 and everyone else, the 3,500 souls lost in those towers. And it includes Granny down the road who died alone because we weren't allowed to see her during the pandemic. So these people will fall because we're not going to stand for it. I suggest anyone who sees robots who deliver food, don't use them. It's a very dangerous game they're playing.
Yeah, don't starve them of the ability to use that to deliver food to you by simply saying, no, you don't want that anywhere near your house. And you have the option to opt out. Remember, people, you've always the option to say no to anything that they're trying to thrust upon you. And don't be afraid to raise that voice and say no. And if enough voices do it, there's nothing they can do to implement this if the resistance reaches a critical point, which is, I think, what we're really trying to encourage people to do day after day here on TNT Radio. So we've got to take a real quick break. I want to, when we come back from it, there's about 20 articles are popping up. I'd love to be talking about a lot of them with you, but you touched on censorship and you touched about knowledge equals power before Mark called in from Leeds. So I want to look at something that's cropped up this week that has slipped under the radar a little bit to do with censorship. That's a little bit disturbing, but we'll do that when we come back here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Give me a minute. with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
With all that's been going on, you're excused if you missed the latest on actor Alec Baldwin and his upcoming trial for the accidental shooting on the set of his movie Rust, which left one crew member dead and one wounded. Now, originally, Baldwin was charged with firearm enhancement and involuntary manslaughter, but it was reported on Monday that last week the Santa Fe County DA dropped the enhancement charge, which means Baldwin now faces a maximum of 18 months in prison for manslaughter, down from the 5 years he could have gotten before the charge was dropped. Now, I'm no fan of Baldwin for a variety of reasons. He's a flaming liberal. I've heard the voicemail message that he left on the machine of his young daughter about 15 years ago when she was 12 or 13, calling her all kinds of names. I watched him on Conan O'Brien's show calling on Americans to head to Washington during the Bill Clinton impeachment, and stone Henry Hyde, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, to death and kill the wives and children of Republicans. That was in 1998. The enhancement law that he was charged with was actually passed in New Mexico after the shooting incident in 2021. So I can't argue with it being dropped. But it is amazing that with all I've listed here, none of it has negatively affected Baldwin's career. Well, I did mention he's a flaming liberal, so that explains it. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
In regional and rural areas of our great country, the sun brings a heavy toll. Skin cancer hits us hard. And if you've spent a lot of time out under the sun, your risk is high. Melanoma is the deadliest skin cancer, but it's curable if you get it early. Monthly skin checks are a must. If a spot, mole, or freckle doesn't look or feel right, don't wait. To find out more, visit melanomapatients.org.au.
You're with Nicola Charles and Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, this is our talkback hour. Someone is trying to call Murray, actually, on the studio, but there's been silence at the end of the line. We're hypothesizing whether or not it's Arch plucking up, plucking, or Arch is trying to pluck up the courage. And Mark Delaney, who's just called us in, actually from Leeds, has just put a message on the chat, and he said phoning in is nerve-wracking, but it's also very enjoyable. So, Arch, excellent. If you want to have your nerves wrecked, but also get a little bit of enjoyment in the process as well, a la Darren Denslow, you can give us a little call here. Give Murray a call. He's a nice guy. I'm a kind of a nice guy. And Nicola is not a nice guy. She's a nice
don't
girl.
Don't scare Murray. Yes. Don't do heavy breathing with Murray. He's our Murray. Don't damage him.
Yeah, no, he's used to heavy breathers, I'm sure. He looks like he's been on the receiving end of a few heavy breathing calls over the years. He's immune to all that stuff. But listen, it's all good. We're kind of a little lighthearted this morning. I think we have to be sometimes, Nicola, because you know the old adage, if you don't laugh, you cry. Censorship, okay, there's a few things that are cropping up. Subtly, totalitarian tiptoe. George Orwell's chilling prediction is coming true. It's time to make a stand. This is a news article that talks about at the moment there is an ongoing censorship of books, censoring statues, censoring history in general in an attempt to eradicate the past and to enforce a single point of view. And one particular case that is very prevalent this week is that of the literature of Roald Dahl. So Roald Dahl, the English author, I remember reading his books when I was a kid. They were brilliant, the BFG and James and the Giant Peach and all those books. They were great staple reading in schools. His publisher says it has a significant responsibility, check this out, to protect its younger readers. So Puffin Books is defending its story changes in Roald Dahl's books as minimal after a rewriting row, saying it is not unusual for publishers to review and update language. So basically what they're doing is they're censoring them to remove references, certain references to height, to weight, and also to gender, with new passages added to minimize offense. Who would have thought it? They're censoring Roald Dahl books, but they're allowing drag queens into school, and they're allowing these angel wing filth graffiti murals to be appearing in public places, and they're pushing self-guides to all sorts of sexual deviancy to 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 year olds in schools. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. But Roald Dahl, talk about a short, fat kid. Forget about it. You might hurt somebody's feelings. What the hell's going on with these people?
Well, you know, I would say it's sacrilege as it is, because Roald Dahl is such a national treasure. But, you know, they want to make God gender neutral. So I'm not sure we're allowed to use the word sacrilege anymore. I'm starting to think the reason this is happening at this time in history is because Prince Philip is gone. Because when Prince Philip was here, we wouldn't, of course, be allowed to be woke, because Prince Philip was as far from woke as it's possible to get. He was often a misogynist. He was often racist. He said a lot of uncomfortable things to a lot of people upon meeting them, particularly people from other countries. And so I think they sort of held off on the Great Reset because Prince Philip would be about as unwoke and as unacceptable as it's possible to get. And the Queen wouldn't be able to stomach that. But we're dealing with people, Rick, who tore down statues of the man who freed the slaves, Abraham Lincoln. They say they're woke. They say they want reparations for slavery. And they pulled down the beautiful, beautiful statues that had stood for years and years of the great man, Abraham Lincoln. And in their place, they have erected statues of Lilith. Lilith is a female demonic figure of Jewish folklore. And these statues of Lilith, this female demon, are popping up all over the United States. These are the kinds of people we're dealing with. You may laugh and you may say it's a tinfoil hat thing to say that these people are satanic and demonic. But you know, that there was that COP24, I think it was, that was held on All Hallows Eve in Scotland. That was a bit creepy. That was the first one, you know, in this period in history. And all the world leaders went to that. We're putting up satanic statues left, right, and center. And now we're starting to realize that there are a few, you know, unsavory meanings to a lot of statues and buildings that are erected around the world. And now they take something sacred, like probably, I would hazard a guess, the number one children's author on earth, you know, not modern day, because obviously that would be J.K. Rowling, but they don't like her either. So I just find it sacrilege, right? And none of this would have been allowed when Prince Philip was alive, because he was anti-woke. But now he's gone, we all have to fall in line with this leftist absolute rubbish, don't we?
We do. Old Prince Philip, he came out with a quote, I think, just before he died that put a smile on my face. Allegedly, and apparently it's true, he said, "If I come back again after I die, if I am resurrected or I come back, I want to come back as a virus, because I want to try and kill as many people as I can." That kind of put a right smile on my face. Yeah, it was an in-joke, is right.
Yeah,
he knew fine rightly. He knew fine rightly. But, you know, the old spud was coming out with that rhetoric right up until he died. Yes, the whole thing about censorship, removing statues, I would say the only time I would support this is the removal of Dan Andrews statues in Melbourne. I think that's simply there to antagonize people.
That will happen, but it will probably happen at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually. I'm being a little bit two-faced here. I'm saying, no, you shouldn't censor and remove statues, but come on, Dan Andrews' statue in Melbourne, that's just rubbing salt in the wounds of the Victorians. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. If a statue goes up in a certain area, it's because the people of that area in the main respect or have had respect for that person at some point in the past.
No, not
anymore.
Now,
you may not have, not anymore. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it used to be that way, but not anymore. But the problem is the people from the past in areas that these statues have always been there from, and people would pass them by without giving it a second thought. Minorities are saying, I'm offended by that statue. That statue represents something that offends me, so remove it. And in England, for example, there was a very notorious case there about a month or so ago where a street it was renamed, and it used to be called Black Boy Lane. And it was always known as Black Boy Lane. So the council rebranded the street, I think at a cost of about £150,000 of taxpayers' money. But here's the thing, Nicola, I don't have the name of the street that they renamed it, but under the name of that street, in block capitals, it said formerly Black Boy Lane. So they removed the street as called Black Boy Lane because it offended some black people. But underneath the new street, they put it was formerly known as Black Boy Lane. And then a graffiti artist came and spread the wall behind the sign with artistic street art to say Black Boy Lane. So effectively what they did, listen, they magnified it even further. It's something, if they just let it lie, nobody would have really paid any attention with it. But instead they drew attention to it. It's just part of this whole charade, I think.
I think that's a lovely name for a straight. What's wrong with a straight being named after a black boy? There was obviously an influential black boy, perhaps. We don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say that someone was offended. It's not always the case, Rick, honestly. I had a chat with a lovely guy from Oxford in the UK. He used to be a policeman, and now he's a Catholic priest in Australia. His name's Father Chris Yates, and he's a great guest on TNT. He told me we were talking about Christmas decorations because we didn't get any in my village. And he said that where he was in Oxford, there was a mosque nearby, and he used to chat to the imam, and they used to get on really, really well. And the press was saying in that area that they couldn't have Christmas decorations because the Muslim attendees at the mosque were offended. And the imam went to see Father Chris Yates and said, "You know that the press are lying. We're not offended at all. Please put your Christmas decorations up." So you, again, cannot believe what they're saying in this mainstream media, Rick.
No, you can't. You see, I actually have a quick street name story just before we get to the end. In the town in which I live, there's a street. No, well, this is quite macabre. There's a street called Piper's Hill. It's a small lane that's quite steep. And the reason it's called Piper's Hill is because hundreds of years ago, there was a rebellion in my town, and allegedly a bagpiper, you know, a piper had his head cut off, and they rolled it down that hill. So they call it now Piper's Hill. So what if I was a bagpiper or a Scottish musician, and I said, "I have a problem with that. I don't like the fact that that's named after one of my ancestors that had his head lopped off and rolled down your street."
Yeah.
Get over it, Rick. We have to get over these things and wind our necks. And Nicola, I think, is the secret. So anyway, we're up to time. The music is playing. It's the end of another week here. It's been very enjoyable. Thank you very much for all your input every day. And I hope
Thanks,
you have a
Rick.
Lovely
Thank
evening
you.
And a lovely weekend. You're welcome. And we'll be back on Monday morning at 8 a.m. UK time here on TNT. Me and Nicola, I'll be back after the news with Johnny Feistman. Please don't go away.